Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Knights of Ren. It's Allie, and happy Remembering Resistance Day. I'm so excited to finally be back talking about Resistance. It's another character episode to kind of get more characters in the one episode because I'm doing these so sporadically. I'm like, instead of just doing Tora, how about I do like everything Dozas? That will make more sense when I talk about who's on the podcast, because not only are we talking about Tora and her parents, but we're also talking a bit about the Colossus. So of course today I have Caitlin from Sky Talkers with me.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. And yeah, this is the perfect episode to be on for me for Remembering Resistance. Anyone who's listened to Sky Talkers knows that I love the Colossus. So I'm so excited to be talking about it and the Dozas with you today.
Yeah, anytime I see a picture of the Colossus, I feel like anybody who knows you does. They're just like, that's cute.
Yeah, I remember when Resistance was airing and my birthday came around. It was like before I used to get like people on Twitter would wish me happy birthday with like pictures of Ben Solo and like Luke Skywalker. And then when Resistance was airing, it was just all happy birthday pictures with the Colossus. Yeah, knew it had gone like a little too far, but of course, never far enough.
I mean, I even contributed to that. I know I made a hard meme with the Colossus for you for one of your birthdays.
Yeah, no. Now that you say that, yeah, no, I totally remember that. Yeah, it was, I love the Colossus and yeah, it's the best.
Yes. So as today we are celebrating not only Tora and the Dozas, but also because this is coming out on Remembering Resistance, I was wondering if you had anything you wanted to share about your general love of Resistance overall.
Yeah, I think Resistance was such a fun show. I think it just had like a lot of heart. And I think like the character dynamics on it were a lot more complicated than I think some people may have given it credit for. And it's certainly definitely a show I wish had gotten a little bit more time to really flesh out some of those larger story arcs that I really think it was building. But I loved Resistance. I thought it was so fun. It definitely made me laugh so much. I don't know. It made me feel really good. Like I always like came away, I don't know, just feeling like lighter, if that makes sense. You know, sometimes with Star Wars, things can get pretty heavy. You know, Star Wars is tragedy, as we say on Sky Talkers. It can get kind of dark sometimes, but Resistance, no matter how heavy or like serious some things may have gotten, it always kind of brought it around. And, you know, the show was geared towards like a bit of a younger audience, but I think it like brought some of those more mature themes and, it just always like, I always came away just feeling like really happy when I watched Resistance. And I don't know, it just has such like a cool, good place in my heart. And the cast was just incredible. The Resistance panel at Celebration 2019 was one of my favorite panels of Celebration that year. And that room was just so like happy. It was such like a happy room. So yeah, I love Resistance.
Yes, I agree with all of yes. It is definitely like my comfort show of choice. Mm-hmm. I definitely know it's the show I've gone to when I've dealt with crappy stuff. And also just like overall, I like what you said about like it even being like just that comfort thing. Cause like a lot of the times throughout our notes, and we'll get to it, we noted just how much it's nice to have like a full family. Like we love Star Wars is tragedy. I know you love Star Wars is tragedy, we also love to see a happy family that lives throughout the whole show.
Right? Imagine.
So, yeah, it's just really that light and that comfort. And yes, that panel, the best.
So good. It was so good. So good. And so watching good. The first I couldn't remember if it was the first and second or just the first, but the first episode of season two was so fun. And like to hear the crowd, because that's such a funny episode too. And to hear like everyone laughing together, it was like, it's just so nice.
Yeah, Resistance is really funny. Honestly, I wish I had gotten to do more of that. Like I want like just like, I wish I could have been, because like we had Rabbit back then. So like I did go to a few like Rabbit watches, but it was just like text. So like we could text all we want, how much we were laughing, but it wasn't audio. I just want to like sit in a room like and watch Resistance with like Star Wars fans forever. Because like, So to get more into the topic of the episode, so let's kick it off talking a bit more about the Colossus, because We all know that Caitlin loves the Colossus, but let's just get a bit more into all of the reasons
why. We can't spend that much time, Allie.
I know. But we'll at least scratch the surface.
Exactly. I think the Colossus, it's like even kind of hard to like organize my thoughts about the Colossus, honestly, even after all this time. I remember at the time thinking that it was such like a fun, I called it like the best set piece in Star Wars, I think is what I would say when we would do our reviews on Sky Talkers. And I still like maintain that to this day. I think it had such a great sense of place. You could really tell how characters were moving from one area of the ship to another. And not only that, but there's this like social hierarchy that they presented in the ship that I think was really cool, especially like we were saying, for like a show that was, you know, geared towards a quote unquote younger audience, to have this kind of very visual like social hierarchy that was kind of impacting and influencing the characters, I think is like a super mature theme and something that, you know, unfortunately like happens in the real world. And like, how do you deal with that and things like that? And I don't know, I loved being able to feel like I could walk around the Colossus. It felt very real and realized. And I thought it was always such like a great set piece for like tension and stuff like that in the show. The fact that they're the only, like, that's where you go on Castellan, there's nowhere else, you know. It's there or nowhere. And I think that builds a lot of tension. And I always thought it was so cool. And then like the plot twist of it, you know, being able to move and like water, I like lost my mind.
Loved how much you got to see of the different areas. Like, while we did spend a lot of time, like, we're like that area of the Colossus, like Yeager's shop in that area, we still got like, we got a ton of time in Dosa's Tower, we got a ton of time in like the market area. It's just, it was so cool. And that also kind of reflects how the diversity of different like characters from all over the Colossus we got to see, because we got to see all these different areas and spend time in them. And Tora was a big link to that, and getting to see like all those different parts, like bless Tora for that. But
her bedroom was such like, I loved her bedroom. I think it's cool to see like people in one place predominantly, and like how they change and grow with that place. Even like Tora's room, you know, with her games and her, how she decorates and stuff like that, compared to, you know, like the hangar where Yeager is and Kaz and Tam, and like where they would repair the, you know, the fireball and all that stuff. And then even like when the pirates took over, seeing how visually the Colossus changes as a result of their, you know, leadership, for lack of a better word. I think it's just, it's a really clever way to, I don't know, show how things are changing socially and also for the characters. And yeah, I think it's perfect. I still maintain it's perfect.
Yeah. Even when the First Order is like taking over too, like not only the pirates, but the First Order, like you get to know these areas is so expansive. And I kind of felt that in a sense, Brendan, it's like more and more stormtroopers came, you kind of felt the walls like closing in then that way, because you were still in this like isolated place, and here comes all of these extra forces of control kind of like keeping you more in that bubble. And they even like did that. They're like, you can't leave this hangar, Kaz, you're stuck here. That was just like such a smart way to like really show the impacts and effects of that control. And then also like the story, like you brought up like the social hierarchy, like that comes up, not only it comes up for the Aces and wanting to achieve success to like get up to that tower, it comes for the normal citizen wanting to achieve that feeling of success. It's largely a feeling of success, but not only that, especially when the First Order comes more into play, it becomes also about Doza's decisions and who has the power, control, and say, and what actions we take and how involved we're going to get. And then ultimately for Tam specifically with her story, it even reflects that and like her own journey to wanting to get to that place of achieving her dream. So I thought it's like, the more I thought about it today, I just thought it's so cool how it's not just a station, it literally largely reflects these larger stories throughout the show, which is so cool.
I think you bring up the Dozos and like their control, or who ultimately has control, is great, because like Doza's Captain Doza's office is one of my like favorite places on the Colossus. I love how he has like bonsai trees in his office and like plants and stuff like that. It's cool because I think we're so used to like an office like in Revenge of the Sith and stuff like Palpatine's office. You know, it's like it gets bigger as he gets more power and stuff like that. And then Doza was always, I remember like heavily speculating that he, you know, what if he was bad? What if he was still with the Empire, you know? But he's like a dad and he has like this office. And I don't know, it was cool. And like seeing like the different people like Pyre and like the First Order and stuff being in his office, even though, and he's like not, he doesn't have the same kind of control as he did at the very beginning of the series. It's a great, like that visual cue you were talking about what's really going on and who's really in control.
Any other thoughts about the Colossus? I know you could talk so much about it.
I think I just want to share one of my favorite moments of the Colossus is when, I can't remember what episode, it's season two, but when, because it's after they've left Castellan and Neeku, he projects Castellan onto the walls of the Colossus, oh, like in the market area, because everyone really missed Castellan and they like weren't used to not seeing like the sky and stuff, and he like unveils it for everyone, and I loved that moment. I just thought it was so sweet, and I don't know, it was just such like, again, like a feel good moment of, oh, it's like we're back on Castellan.
Yes. Very sweet. The show is so sweet. I love it. So before we dig more specifically into each of the characters, they are a broad family unit, and also just like there's a lot of general overall thoughts we could have about them. So what are your overall thoughts about like the Dozas, either as like a family or overall thoughts that don't dig as specific into each of the characters?
Yeah, I think this is probably true for a lot of people watching Resistance. And I think you had even mentioned it earlier too, but just having like a family that interact and are together, and like, they've had like group hugs and stuff. There's something great about that. I think they feel like a real family, you know, like a mom and a dad and kid and her pet. There's something really lovely about that in Star Wars, and like Hora specifically, she like acts her age, which I think is really great too. Like you can tell that she's 15. She's like in that borderline between, you know, really being able to make decisions for herself, but then also like she still has to listen to her parents.
Yeah, definitely. I love that you brought up Buggles. Please bring up Buggles. Buggles is just the best.
People have a love hate of Buggles. They either love his design or hate his design.
Wait, there's Buggles haters. Who are they? I need to come. I'm not gonna.
No one in our circle. Thank heavens.
I am glad I've been able to avoid the Buggles hate. I am blessed because Buggles is just the best, and you cannot change my mind, people.
What was it that he showed up in? Not him, but other I don't even know what he's called, like what his creature is.
A Vorpak, I believe is the name.
Oh, yeah. But they showed up in something else recently, didn't they?
Bad Batch.
Yes, I was like, I know I've seen them somewhere else besides Resistance, and I can't out. Place yes. it. Yes.
Yeah. Overall, just like that family, and I honestly, I'm gonna get more into it like when we talk about the specific characters, but I find it so interesting how each of them, but mainly Emmanuel and Tora, but each of them like kind of, they have their own, not necessarily like flaws, but like they're very complex characters where they do have a lot of like either morally gray or even just like mixed attributes. Like I'll pick up some like general ones. Like for example, like Tora is super competitive, but she's also one of the most friendly people on that freaking platform who will like look out for people. And like even Captain Doza, just actions throughout the first part of the season. But then we come to learn more and more why he takes those actions and his care for others. So I just find it so interesting to have not only just like such a wholesome family, but a family that shows that like even when we have wholesome family, there's like complexity to these wholesome families. So I like that a lot.
yeah exactly. And like I'm sure we'll get into it, so I don't want to like start down the rabbit hole, but just the fact of like Emmanuel working for the Empire and Vanessa working for the Rebellion, like I'm sorry, that I want to read that book, I want to see that movie.
I know. It's like, it pains me every day that we're probably never going to see more Resistance stuff. I hate it so much.
No,
it's,
yeah. I'll hold out hope.
Yeah. All right. Let's start off with Vanessa, because dear goodness, another reason we need to see more, because she is obviously introduced third out of the three. So we got overall the least content with her, but oh my God, I love her. I was rewatching some season two stuff today. She is so sassy with the First Order. It makes me so happy. I love it.
She is. You can see where Tora got her personality from.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Vanessa. Her like appearance into the show is such like a welcome surprise, because I can't remember how they framed it in the first season, like if we knew her mom was still alive. Do you remember?
Or I don't if it was, think so, because it's like, I watched the episode today and it's like very shocking to even Kaz. Like, they put a lot of drama on it. They're like, her mom, excuse me.
Yeah, because I was like, I think I probably, at least like in the early part of season one, probably assumed that Tora's mom had passed away. Mm-hmm. And if they had like mentioned it later on, I can't quite remember now, but like, just having her back in and not only, you know, being alive. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Novel. Yeah. But, you know, being a rebellion, a resistance fighter, and like being so cool. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And first off, I agree. Like, and it's kind of really sad that we just automatically, a lot of the times, probably assumed that she was dead just because of what we've gotten to know, which is just really sad. But also, like, working with like the Resistance, it's so cool to like go back to season one even and to see the way that like Tora treats and reacts to Kaz, and to now know where her mom is, and to like add that extra layer on to why Tora acted the way she did with certain things, because it's she knows, because like her mom's that big secret for her, and her mom is working with the Resistance, so that's just really cool to see now that you know that later.
I totally hadn't even thought of that before, but you're so right, like it totally puts her relationship, her suspicion of Kaz, in like a whole new light.
I also just generally, because she was like, we're going to talk a lot about this, I'm sure, between the two of them, but like the relationship between her and Emmanuel is just so cool, because like what you brought up with the Empire stuff and their past and her getting him to defect. And I love how she does come in to help be that extra encouraging force for him in season two, because he's like still very uncertain of how involved he wants to get and like where they are with things. And she just really comes in and is that extra force to help him see that sometimes it's worth taking risks to help people and stuff. And it's just like reminding him of where he came from. I love it so much.
Yeah, I think there are just so many like really interesting and complicated things about the Doza family that, again, I wish we had more time with this show to like really flesh out. Not only like Emmanuel and Vanessa's relationship, but the fact that like she chooses to still go out and fight and like leave her daughter and her husband. Like, that's a really big deal. Like, this is clearly something she 100% believes in. And like, of course we want her to, it's the Resistance, they're the heroes and everything. But then like we spend the show with Tora and she like clearly misses her mom so much. And like, you know that that's hard. And I'm sure when Tora was even younger, it was even harder for her to really understand just how important the work was that her mom was doing. But that doesn't always make you feel better, you know what I mean? Like, as a kid. And then, like, you know, Doza choosing not to be a part of the fight anymore, even though he left this horrible thing with the Empire. And I don't know, it's really cool. And I would have loved to, like, see more conversations between Vanessa and Emmanuel about how they made the choices that they made to, you know, for her to go out and still fight and for him to stay on the Colossus and raise their daughter. Because also a stay-at-home dad is not like the most common thing in the world, you know?
Yeah, I find that part of it so interesting too, especially because what you said about like how Emmanuel, it's because like a lot of the times you think, oh, they need to like go become a Jedi or join the Resistance or the Rebellion. But no, he just wants to take care of his daughter. Like, yes, he made the choice to leave the Empire, but that doesn't mean he's going to go off and just fight with the other side. He's just going to come into this in-between place and care for his family and the Colossus first, which, that's just, I like that. It's unique.
Yes. Yeah, it totally is. And then you also have, like, you throw Yeager into the mix too, who's kind of like similar, where he was with the rebellion and then he also doesn't want to be a part of the fight now. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really hesitant about stuff like that. So the two of them, again, I was like, why is there not more conversations between Josa and Yeager? Like, there's just so much I wanted.
There was, because, like, you did get little nuggets of it, like, especially in season 2, because they were always on that, like, one part of the platform together.
Yeah. Like, same spot.
Oh my gosh. I just, yes, more resistance stuff, please. I say it every year, every time I podcast about it, but I just, I need any other thoughts about Vanessa specifically?
I guess I'll just say, I think, like, one of my favorite parts, we're watching some clips from it too over the past couple of days, and her confrontation with Tam on the First Order ship. I thought I had, like, forgotten how good that scene was. Mm-hmm. And how Tam is, you know, clearly doubting herself, and Vanessa is still, like, the cool mom, but also, like, the prisoner, the mm-hmm. resistance prisoner, but remembers who Tam is, because of course she remembers who Tam is.
Yeah.
Like, or his friend, of course. She's a cool mom, you know? Yes. Anyway, I really liked that scene, and, like, her calling Tam by her name rather than her identification number. And yeah, it was just like, man, Vanessa is so cool.
Yeah. One particular thing I liked about it, because we just talked about, like, the uniqueness of, like, Doza's decision and stuff. Something with, like, Vanessa I find interesting is, like, she doesn't ask Tam, like, what she thinks about the First Order, or just, like, tells Tam about how bad they are. The line that really stuck out to me, it's like, why are you here? Not because what they told you. It's not like the brainwashing crap they told you. I need to know, like, why you specifically came to be at this place right here, right now. Like, her way of, like, getting through the Tam is more about Tam than it is about the overarching fight, which I just thought that was so cool, how, like, it really goes out there to be like that cool mom again, like, that be that one who really cares about the people, her daughter's friend. Like, I love it.
Yeah. So yeah. And knowing that you gotta be able to articulate why you're on the path you're on in life. And as a kid, and, like, especially, like, Tam and Tora and, like, Kaz, and, like, they're venturing out to do stuff on their own for the first time. So, you know, if you make a, not that, like, joining the First Order is, like, a big deal, but I don't know, like, really making Tam sit down and think about it. Vanessa making sure that Tam was, like, really thinking it through. Like, it is personal. It's got to be about you. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't understand why you're in it for yourself, like, how can you really expect to, like, stand up for whatever it is this organization believes in?
Mm-hmm. All right. Emmanuel Doza. I always found him sus.
Yeah, I was pretty sus of Emmanuel. Like, mm-hmm. I said, I loved his office, but he was always up to something in there, you know? Kaz was always spying on him for a reason. It was always kind of a what if. But I think as we went on throughout the series, especially after, like, the season 1 finale and into season 2, it was like, he was really put between a rock and a hard place. And it was clear that there were some things he wanted to do and just couldn't, and some things he was kind of coerced into doing, like at the end of season 1. It's just, it was, he was a little sus, but he ended up not being sus in the end.
Yeah.
But I remember when they revealed the Imperial outfit in his office and being so shocked. I was like, oh my God, what? Wow. But I think that just set up, like, so much good conversation, or, like, good speculation. And again, like, a what if, like, him and Tam had talked some more, because Tam had family that fought for the Empire too. And mm-hmm. I just thought that was so interesting. And, like, part of her decision to go to the First Order and, like, the stigma that could be around that. And mm-hmm. I think that was one of the cool things about Resistance, is that it really played into the fact that a lot of these, like, adults have history with the last war, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. how that affected them, the sides they were on, the ways they chose to be a part of it and the ways they didn't, for whatever reason they had. It was super cool. And Josa being a part of the Empire and then, like, leaving that for love, you know, and then having this kid, and he's just, like, running this Colossus, like, out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know. And, like,
yeah,
he was an interesting guy, and he was so reserved too, that it would have been, it was like seeing him kind of riled up, or like really passionate about stuff was you knew something was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wouldn't like pre-reference this by saying I am not trying to defend the First Order or the Empire before I say this, because I know it could sound bad when I say this, but it was like an important thing for Kaz, that this whole we're seeing the outfit to where that leads him, because for Kaz he's pretty freaking sheltered. This boy was a sheltered little rich boy, no offense to Kaz, bless his heart, but he was and so he did see things pretty black and white more in the beginning. And like again, that conversation you brought up with where Tam's talking to him and Tam's like, my family fought with the Empire. Does that make them all bad people? Like, it just, and even like in that instance, learning that Doza was with the Empire, and immediately it turns him on, like he's like, Yeager, Doza's like evil and terrible because he has this past. And Yeager's like, whoa, slow down. People can defect, Kaz. It's fine.
So, change.
Like I'm not saying like we gotta like defend the Empire, the First Order, but like it's still good to have that, like those hard conversations of complexity where things are not just one or the other. There's that in between. There's that chance to defect. There's that morally gray nature where it's like, because people go in to serve different ways, and we even bring that up with like, why Tam's there, like why is Tam there, like why are people joining these different sides of the war, for like what personal reasons or broader reasons or etc. This is a very long tangent, I know.
it's good
thanks. But kind of like going back to what you said about like the social hierarchy, I think people take the show for granted too much, where they just don't think it can get as complex as it does. But like, these are just several examples of them showing younger viewers, like the complexities of like situations, the complexities of characters, the way to the kind of cross ties and get, and the importance of communicating more communication to Bad Batch. I have to get into every episode. The importance of communicating and like Yeager talking through things with Kaz, even with Venisa, like they talk about Venisa together and why Venisa made choices she did. Like, those conversations are just so important for that poor sheltered boy, because he needs to see that just because like Doza was with the Empire at one point doesn't mean he's just a bad person.
Yeah, Kaz had a lot to learn. It was an early episode where he like didn't have any money and didn't understand that things cost money. Like, oh, you poor sweet child. Yeah, he had a lot to learn. But I mean, on a more serious note for what you were saying, yeah, absolutely. Like, one choice doesn't have to define your life. And people did what they had to do to survive in a lot of ways. And I think that was kind of what Tam was talking about with her family. And we have no idea what Emmanuel really did in the Empire, how he joined it, why he joined it. But the important thing is that he, you know, he left. He saw that it wasn't what he actually wanted to be a part of anymore. And that means something too. So yeah, it's like, it was so good. And I loved that Resistance like took the time to like, I don't know, talk about the history of Star Wars, because other things don't necessarily do that in the Star Wars world. And yeah, I thought it did a really great job of kind of showing how people can make choices and make different choices, and who you thought was on the bad side is not quite that simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 'Cause even with like a lot of like as we learn more and more with his choices, as like Kaz learns more and more, because a lot of it is Kaz POV, we get to learn more and more too about like why Doza. Like, I think the episode that really like starts to get into that is like when Kaz starts like full on dressing and freaking stormtrooper arms.
Oh yeah.
Because that's what you get with the POV, like more POV kind of show. But like, that was kind of cool in the fact like to see these red flags, but then to learn in the end that Doza ultimately was trying to just protect the platform and do what he was best to, like get the pirates away and to keep people safe, including his daughter. But the important thing with that is he was able to admit wrongdoing. Like, again, flawed characters. Like, he realizes while he had the, like, better, in- he was trying to have the best of intentions, but he still admits, like, oh, this got out of hand. I shouldn't have trusted them. I'm sorry, which was really important for him to do. Like, thank God.
Yeah.
Because those citizens were, oh, this poor man. Like, honestly, one of those scenes, it is just literally the Colossus berating Doza for like minutes on end, like up to the finale. And I'm like, this poor man, like he's been through so much.
Yeah. he definitely went through it. But that was the thing, is like Doza was always working for the Colossus's best interest and Tora too. But sometimes, like, what do you do when you have to make a choice between pirates and the First Order? Like, there's no good choice here, but what do I have to do? What seems like the best option in this moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was also, this is a very vague connection to me, but I was just like, I was rewatching stuff around the time I was doing my Kenobi podcast. And I was talking with Megan Candace about how, like, we were talking about how people are starting to warm up to Owen Beru more because we're older and we can see they were more rational, like, parent figures. And when we're kids, we see them differently. And I feel like the same thing could go with this show, where a kid could watch and be like, oh, Tora should get to go play and run around and have fun. And, like, while, yes, to some degree, it was important that she voiced that she wanted more freedom, he ultimately was trying to take care of her and make sure she wasn't involved with the First Order stuff and everything. So,
yeah, like, not a small thing.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Any other thoughts about Captain Doza?
I feel like we covered a good bit about him, but yeah, I think he's a really, like, I love having this father figure. Like, he felt like a father, you know, just up in his office, you know, doesn't want his daughter out doing Lord knows what, but he's got a lot going on that, like, Tora isn't necessarily aware of just how serious it is, like, the things are that he's dealing with, because she's 15. How could she? But yeah, I think it was great. And then, like, of course, seeing him, like, with Vanessa and Tora together, it was just like, oh, you know, he's just like a puddle when they're all together.
Yeah. And it's like, even though he is trying to protect her and keep her sheltered from that, like, beginning point, he still lets her race. Like, if he was just the father who wanted her in no danger, she wouldn't be an ace pilot.
I could have never done that. Like, I think I liken the ace pilots to, like, motorcycle racing or, like, race car driving, and there's no way I could have ever gotten on a motorcycle when I was 15 years old. So
let's move on to Tora. I'm probably gonna talk a lot again because this is my favorite Resistance character, so how about you start with it?
No, I really think you should go, but because I don't want to steal your thunder, but Tora is like a breath of fresh air in the Star Wars universe. Like, I think she was just the perfect foil to Kaz. Like, their dynamics when they were on little adventures together were some of my favorite moments in Resistance. I just think she has such, like, spunk and personality, and I would have loved to see what she does as she got older and did have, like, more life experience. And because she's so smart. So to actually see what she would have been able to, like, accomplish and stuff in the future, I think would have been so great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're, oh my God, her and Kaz are just the best. Like, honestly, they're, like, little shenanigans in season one, some of my favorite things ever. Like, even if it didn't make sense with the no context account, I would still throw the clips up there because I'm like, look at this, people, it's so good, I love it, watch it. Like, so good, I love them. I really love Tora. Like, we talked at the beginning about this being like a comfort show, but, like, she is just like her and Niku, but, like, her especially for me, I just see her as such that, like, positive light, because, like, she has that bubbly personality. She's, like, honestly MVP, one of the MVPs of being, like, the most caring and looking out for other people. But as I brought her up earlier, she is also one of those more complex characters, because I remember a lot of the early marketing for Tora and like before the show came out use, of course, like with any trailer is going to heavily use early episodes because you don't want to give away too much. And in those early episodes, a lot of her interactions are like, I'm going to beat you, Kaz. Like, you're going to die.
Yeah,
bye.
That's so right.
A lot of her early marketing made her like seem like this competitive, like super only competitive, like just cares about winning kind of character. But I loved her regardless from like day one. But I just love that we get to go to see that, like, while she's super competitive, she does really, really care about her friends. And I just love to have a character like that, where it's, again, not black and white. Just because a character is super duper competitive doesn't mean they're just going to be a brat and like super selfish and like only care about winning and stuff. Like, you don't have like some episode where Tora's like, I need to win. And then people have to tell her not to win. She's never like that. She's just a really competitive girl who is gonna like play around with Kaz because he's new, of course, and try to make him a bit scared, but that doesn't mean she's a bad person. She's there when Kaz wakes up after he like crashes, and sure, she still teases him a bit, but she ultimately was there by his side and was like, oh, I'm still glad you're okay, like, even though I like beat you and stuff, like, I'm not gonna I'm just glad you're fine, like, yeah. And I loved how much she reached out to others, and kind of a scene that I just honestly, I was rewatching episodes back when I was writing my, I believe, oh my gosh, that was 2020 when I was writing that article about like Kaz, and I came across this scene with like her and Hype, and she's like, there's a lot to the scene, but I'm trying to sum it up really small for everyone right now. So the first part of it is that, again, she has a mix of really looking out for Hype, but I still laugh to this day. Like, she ends off the scene being like, well, at least if you leave, I'll be like the best pilot. So again, she's super friendly looking out for him, but then she's like joking around like, I'm still the competitor, haha, which I love. But one of the most like prominent parts of the scene I want to bring up, though, is she admits she's scared in this scene. And a lot of the show talks about how fearless Tora is, even through season two, even after this conversation occurs in future episodes, they're talking about how fearless she is. But she actually like admits to Hype, like, I'm scared. This is serious stuff. Like, I may seem super positive, upbeat, jump into any situation, but like, I am scared. And I found that to be like, just that hit me in that way where it's like, she is a 15-year-old girl in the middle of a war. She, yeah, her family is at risk, her friends are at risk, her whole like home is at risk, and she's gonna be scared. Anyone would be scared in that situation. So I just loved how real that was, where despite being this positive, upbeat force, and she will do honestly anything to save Kaz or save her mom or save anyone, she does have that fear deep inside, and she's able to share it with Hype in that moment. And they're able to connect over how in Hype's childhood, he brings up how like the Empire was that way in his childhood. And it's just a really real moment between them where they're able to bond over the fact that, like, yeah, things are like hard right now and we're having to make tough choices, but we can at least bond over the fact that we can come together to help each other because we are scared. But the importance of Yeager's training is so that we become better, so we can help each other get through this hard time together. So I just, that scene, I don't know. I need to talk about that scene more because I love that scene so much. It's so good.
No, I love that. I remember that episode and like everything we learned about Hype being like so surprising, right? And like that, I don't know, that was such like a, what's the word? Where we were like, we gained like a lot of sympathy for Hype. And I think something you were kind of like talking about in that scene is the fact like they came together like as friends and not as competitors, because Hype was always, he was, you know, he's super competitive too. He's an ace pilot, but like them kind of not having that energy like around each other at that time and really just kind of like toning it down, being like, all right, this is not about being competitors or, you know, like this is about something real, like friends and like how we're feeling and like when we're scared and stuff like that. Yeah, I had totally forgotten that Tora was super marketed as like the competitor, like the girl that was just going to try and beat Kaz at everything. And that's not at all who she ended up being. I think that Tor kind of represents like some of the best for Resistance, and that like I felt like her and Kaz had such relatable moments, like you were talking about just like admitting that you're scared and in these like very real situations. But like Tora, I don't know, like I said, I always felt like she really felt like a 15-year-old girl, like someone who was really craving independence and like trying to make these big decisions for herself, and sometimes getting in over her head, sometimes Kaz causing them both to get in over her head, their heads, but even just like wanting someone to hang out with and like having this bedroom that is decorated and like playing games and like having her pet and just like wanting friends and connection. And then also feeling like some of that is inhibited because of like her, you know, status on the Colossus with Doza as the man in charge and everything like that, and having to prove herself as an ace. And yeah, she just always felt really relatable. And yeah, I think like her supportive nature of her friends is such a good like way to describe her, and it's kind of like one of the best things about her as a character, and that she was always like willing to drop whatever she was doing and go, you know, with Kaz, follow Kaz, whoever it was, and you know, like help out. And but then like at the end of season one, like seeing like when she is captured by the pirates, and it's just like, I think she, that was like a really sobering moment for her of like, oh, this is pretty serious. You know, like I don't know if I can get out of this one myself. I don't know. Yeah, she is such a special character. And yeah, I think like even just like aesthetically, her design too, I thought was so like cute and like beautiful and like fun. Her design matched her personality as like someone who is cute and colorful, but also like very functional. Like her suit like did a lot for her, you know what I mean? Like it was her racing suit and everything. And yeah,
I love the colors. I love like the turquoisey kind of blue and the orange. Oh, I always love drawing her.
And like her little space buns, and then she, like the dots on her face, I thought were so cool. I remember like early on thinking, you know, like, is that part of like, is she born with those like turquoise dots, or is like, does she put them on herself? And I don't know. I always thought that was so fun to like think about. And I think it's kind of even more fun to think that she just like is super into that look and really likes that, like how it looks on her face. So she like really invests in like turquoise eyeliner and puts it on every morning.
So on each episode, I like to do a segment specifically focusing on relationships, because not only am I super character driven, but I'm super relationship with character-ish driven. And we've kind of touched on each of them. So this will just more be like any other thoughts that we haven't yet gotten in. Two things I want to bring up about her relationship with her parents, I don't think I brought up earlier. One, I was rewatched again, the birthday scene, the birthday episode where she's trying to reunite with her mom. And I just found it like, this is one of the rare times when, and except for when she's like in direct combat, like beating a stormtrooper over the head, you, like see Tora angry and sad. Yeah. And like, she's like yelling at her friends and like storming off, and like, she's like completely shifts in her demeanor. It really emphasizes, again, not only being a kid, but like the importance of family to her. Like, I just love that family aspect, because it's like, that's what sets her off. That's what is really that core important thing to her, is just being able to see her mom and know her mom's okay. That that episode is just such a good highlight of that family. And like, just like all those shots of like them looking at the hologram of Emmanuel Olivetti.
Oh,
set. It's
like, yeah.
Oh, that episode is so good for the family. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's just the surprise of like, oh, wait, her mom.
Yeah. Thank God. Like, wow, Star Wars. I applauded Star Wars that day. I was like, hello.
Wow. This is new. Feel. Feels good. I'm like hesitant about it, because is it gonna last? You know, you never know. Best to be cautious. But...
yeah, honestly, I was so focused on Tam living the finale. What I really should have also been focusing on was Whitney solving
the finale. Right. I kind of felt like everyone would make it through the finale. It was just like, oh, are we gonna have enough time to like have some kind of happy ending with any/all of these characters? Like, is it gonna actually wrap up, or is it more like a finesse season finale than a series finale?
And that's actually the second thing I was going to bring up too. Like that ending of that final episode, it's like her and her family are hugging. It's just like right in front and center. And it makes me so happy. I love that they're like, they're there in the end and they're with back together and they're willing to all fight together now because like Doze has come to like see a bit more that he can take some more risks and stuff. And oh my God, it's just, oh, I'm so happy. And I wish them the best for the future. I have to still say that. That's the sad part. It's like, I say this every day with Sabine's family now. Like, I'm just like praying for all these family units that still exist. I'm like, please, right? Families.
They're very few and far between. We have to pray for them.
Pray for them all the time. Yeah. I'm not seeing the best for Sabine's family at the moment. So I'm going to hold on to the Doze as I guess.
Yeah, that might be our best bet for now.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about the family unit of the three of them?
I think something I was thinking about when you were talking, bringing up like great points about Tora and her mom. I think it was just great to see Tora like have a different like respect for her dad as like they move throughout the series, because like that whole episode of like really, you know, like wanting to see her mom and stuff on her birthday, like it was clear that Tora really idolizes her mom and like wants to emulate her mom. Like her mom is a role model and like she wants to go and be that kind of person that can fight like Venisa does. And I think Venisa wants to inspire that in Tora too. But I think throughout the series, you see Tora like really gain respect for what her dad does too. And I think that is such like a big part of growing up, of one, realizing that your parents are not infallible people, but then also realizing that they both have like different strengths and are both loving you and like the way that they know how, and that the things they have to teach you are valuable if not different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this show is so valuable for so many reasons. Like I was talking with, I was doing an Amphibia video with Hope Neal and Axe, and we were talking a lot about, she loves seeing older characters in like television and stuff, and it's just like, this is an example again of like seeing prominent parents in a Star Wars show. It's so good. I love that we're getting a bit more of it lately, like more parents please. Yes, more older people, love it. Because like I love all the young people. I love Sabine, I love Ezra, I love Kaz, I love Tora, but like the older characters, just especially because like what you said in the beginning, they not only have complexity in the moment, but they have these just like complex pasts that you can dig so much more into. Yes, so good. I love it. All right. You talked numerous times about her relationship with Kaz, and I kind of even briefly touched on like how that can be complicated throughout the show. Okay, I'm going to say, I know no one else does, but yes, I still ship them. Everyone in the round of applause for Allie Anders, the one remaining Kaz and
the one person remaining. I'm sure there's more than one person remaining.
I feel like more of an island than I do with Sebezra at this point. I don't think there's anyone. Especially because you have a direct scene in this show where like Tora's like, I'm not into you. So like, I get it. But, like, you know what? Let me love them together. Because it's like, I know, okay, even, okay, at least for a friendship, tone it down for a minute, you know, like, you know, they just have, like, a cute friendship. Again, like I said, I post those clips all on New Context because I love them. Like, I think about, like, their little adventures through, like, the trash incinerator or whatever, and, like, their little, like, creeping through the halls and stuff, and oh my god, I love her interaction with Buggles, but the way Kaz reacts to Buggles too makes me laugh every time.
Oh my gosh, so funny.
It's like, oh my god, it's Buggles. It's just, I think about like the image where Buggles just like tackles Kaz. It's so good. Yeah, but they just have such a precious friendship. It brings me so much joy. They're definitely like one of my top like duos, because like, and they're just an underrated duo. They work so well together. They have such good chemistry, like you said, and I just love them together. They're great.
They're such a good duo. I think it's great because like, even though we've been talking about like how Tora does like a lot of growing up and stuff like that, she's still like a lot smarter than Kaz in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Even though she's younger than him and like has arguably lived on the Colossus, I feel like, for most of her life, she is pretty clued into what he's doing and like inviting herself on his like missions a lot of the time, and just like wanting to like be more a part of the group, you know what I mean? Like kind of what I was saying earlier about like feeling like a little bit of that separation. living up in Doza Tower, like with her dad and everything. And I think, I don't know if they ever said this directly in the show, but like basically like the princess of the Colossus kind of thing. I feel like they said, I can't remember now, but I don't know. Yeah, I think they just had such like, they had such good energy together where they were both like, they're both very high energy characters, but they always like got it done, you know what I mean? But I think like through the series, like, and that was the thing, obviously, like as they grow up, you really see them like become a better team as we go through the series, even though of course like it's always gonna like be funny and like Kaz is always gonna like kind of have these really comedic moments where he like messes stuff up, you know, like that's the show, right?
Yeah,
but, like you see them in their more mature sides and like actually like you were saying with Tora, like really being a supportive friend for each other. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I will totally ship Kaz and Tora. I can totally see it. I can honestly, I can see, like, I really liked Kaz and Sonara too during the show, but I also honestly, I'm just here for like people to be happy together, so like whoever it's gonna be. But like also Sonara and Tam was also like a really great ship.
Yeah, I, like, exactly. People like,
so I know it's kind of like I'm here for like all of the love. So like, however they want to like decide amongst themselves, that's cool with me.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's like a very similar thing I honestly said on the Kaz episode last year. I was like, yeah, it's just Kaz with who you want. I'm just glad he's happy. Like, it's fine.
Right? He needs someone to like keep him in check. but yeah. Yeah. I almost wonder if they would be like too high energy. Like, if they ever did have like a kid together,
oh, God. Be,
like, bouncing off the walls,
chaotic child, 24/7,
they'd have like that, like Buggles, like tied to the kid, just like keep it in one place.
Yeah, and I brought up like the spy thing earlier, and like one thing I wrote down here is like how when she's like suspicious of him, she honestly, it's more about the friendship for her. She honestly, a lot of times, seems to care more about him telling her the truth than about if he's actually a spy or not. So I just thought that was like really cool that it was like that was what hurt her the most when he kept lying to her, was more him being upfront and honest with her than like than what position he was and where he was. And again, because like she knows about that about her mom, and again like she is keeping that too, like let's say that. But like at the same time, like it's just because she cares about him that much as a friend, and she wants him to be willing to be honest with her about things, and even to the point of protecting him, because she's constantly doing that when he's sneaking around. Yeah. Like she just straight up, when she's talking to Von Reg with Doza, she's like straight up like, oh, this is my friend, he just probably got lost. Like she's willing to defend him, and part of that is just her wanting him to be honest so she can help him more. Like I like that, it's really nice.
totally. And like it comes down to her not feeling like their interactions were then like genuine, even though she had been, you know, like really trying to be his friend.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
then he's, you know, to find out that he's been lying to her, it's, yeah, you can see, you can understand how you'd be hurt.
That is actually a super important point too, because like she literally could have been just using her to get up to Doza Tower. That must have been like part of it for her too. Oh my god, Kayla, yeah. Yes. She didn't want to feel like he was just using her to get access to the tower. Oh my god, I'm emotional.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Hurts.
It hurts, exactly.
I don't want a sad Tora.
Yeah, I'm glad for a happy ending with the Resistance, thank god, please.
Right, exactly.
So you brought up Sonara, and I wrote down Sonara particularly because I think it highlights Tora's friendship again, because it's the episode where Tora gets kidnapped, where like Sonara and they're all like kind of talking in Tora's room, and Tora says something along the lines of like, yeah, all my friends are like allowed to come up here and hang out, and like they like show a Kaz's face and they show Sonara's face, and like Sonara, like you could tell Sonara's like, oh, friends, like wow. And this is like the one rare time we see Sonara like betray the pirates and like put that side of her life above, like, or even just like the first time above like her mission with the pirates. Like it's not just wanting to keep Tora safe because like kidnapping's bad. It's also because she has grown to see Tora as a friend and Tora sees her as a friend. And I, that was just really cool that like Tora was that force of friendship that helps Sonara see like, no, this is not good. Let's not kidnap people.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I actually forgot all about that moment, but yeah, like when they're all, yeah, they're in Tora's bedroom, like playing a game or something.
Yeah.
And the pirates had sent Sonara basically to like spy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, she like feels part of the group. And this kind of goes back to like with Kaz and Tora, like her like genuinely being his friend and finding out that he was kind of spying and maybe like using her to a certain extent, even though I think that Kaz like actually like spending time with Tora. Anyway, yeah. And that's like that go back to Kaz. But yeah, like Sonara in that moment being like, oh, like you actually think of me as a friend and like that's not something I'm used to. And how that like just small act of kindness can like change everything for someone and like mean a lot to someone too. It wasn't just like Tora said it not offhandedly, of course, but like just like, oh yeah, my friends, like very casually, I guess I should say. And that like meant a lot more to Sonara than Tora probably thought it did. You know, for her it was just like, of course.
Yeah, and that is like actually an important thing. Like it's good that you went back to Kaz, because that is an important part of it. Because I think about like in that one of the early episodes where he tries to use Tora to go to Doza Tower, at first he's like, Tora, I want to talk to your father, or I want to get up here. Yes, Doza Tower, cool. But like when he gets in the room, then he sees the flight simulators and then they just start playing a game together. Like it's just about them being together as kids. Like they're two sheltered kids who just get to spend time together, who are like kind of isolated, and they're actually just going to be kids in that one brief moment and play like a flight simulator together. So it's just really
precious.
Cool.
It's precious. I always wanted to go to Tora's bedroom and like,
oh my God,
play the games that she has in there. Cause like, you know, like growing up, it's like you always had the one friend that had like the tricked out bedroom and like whose house everyone always wanted to go to. And that's definitely Tora.
I already kind of brought this up, but again, I guess in terms of a relationship with the Aces, again, it just highlights, again, I don't want to sound too repetitive, but like, again, she's super competitive with them, even with, especially with Hype, like they got that competitive stuff going on. But again, she really cares about them and looks out for them, even when they're racing. Like they have that friendship bond and it's so great. And it's also super interesting because you brought up like her ties with Doza. And it's kind of sad because like a lot of the times during the arguments, they do come after like that. They're like, you're Doza's daughter, can't you go like talk to Doza? Like, don't you have a say in what we can do? Which is, I don't think about that enough. That's actually kind of sad that like she honestly gets a lot more of that negative energy just because she's related to him. But I'm glad that in the end they still support each other.
I think they do. It's just, you know, it's like being the teacher's kid or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you just like you feel weird about it and people are always going to bring it up like it's not that big of a deal, but then it kind of is. And like you just makes you feel a little bit like an outcast, I think. And I think I've always kind of, or I did kind of like read that into Tora sometimes and like those types of moments.
But we all ultimately came together in the end and everything was fine.
We did for a big group hug at the bar.
Yeah. I'm glad for happy ending. And I know we just said pray for the parents, but I still want to see more. Like, even if it's flashbacks, like just give me more resistance content. Yeah. Were you going to say something?
I was just going to agree with you. I think eventually once they like fully revisit the sequel trilogy era, I really do think that they'll have stuff to bring in from Resistance, even if it's not like directly the characters. I think like they haven't done as much like post like episode 9, you know what I mean? They just like haven't fully like revisited it yet. And I feel like they always take time after like finishing kind of an era before they kind of fully dive back into it. So like it hasn't really been that long, so it feels like it, of course.
It does also feel like it.
Live through a time. But I think like big picture Star Wars, it really hasn't been that long since we've kind of left that era of storytelling. And I mean, they're totally gonna go back to it at some point. Like, of course they will. It's Star Wars. It's just like, I'm here for the long haul, you know, like I'm not going anywhere. I'm still a fan. So when that day comes, and it will, I'll be like, yeah, I already know what the Colossus is. What up?
Yeah. And the fandom is still out there and saying something. There's a few very dedicated members I know that are very, very vocal about it, but there are tons of people, including like why we're here today. Like, this day that Brad and Sarah made, like, we continue to celebrate it every single year and continue to make content and write articles and podcasts with the creatives. And we're showing them. Like, I even remember when we were at that Visions panel and like like the Resistance people, you could tell there were Resistance fans there because there's like, oh my God, it's
Christopher Sean. Although I don't know about you, but I can never just call him Christopher. Like, I have to say Christopher Sean. I have to say his full name. Yes, that is Kaz. Christopher Sean. Yes, I saw Christopher Sean. Oh, did you see what Christopher Sean tweet? Like, it's only Christopher Sean.
All right. Any other thoughts about the Dozas, the Colossus, or the future of Resistance?
I feel good about the future for all of it. Like, I really do believe that at some point, these characters, these stories, the plot lines that were kind of begun or even tied up in Resistance will come back to play at some point. Everything, like, they always do in Star Wars. So I'm not worried about that. It's just, it sucks to wait because there is so much good stuff to mine there. But, you know, nothing, that's the thing that Star Wars, like, nothing gets thrown away in Star Wars, you know? So it's just, like, I would like it to be sooner rather than later, but I know it's coming. And I hope that one day, what I really want one day is like a Lego or something of the Colossus. A friend, Savannah from the Dorky Diva, actually had Tori from Creature Cartel make me a Colossus necklace for my birthday like 2 years ago.
It's not exactly the same thing because Rebels was clearly, very clearly set up a continuation, but like, I want a moment like what we got at the Mando panel where it's like, oh my God, it's Rebels, it's back, like that getting in there. I want that with Resistance one day where we're just sitting on a panel, we don't think we're getting Resistance, and then there it is. That's just so good. Oh my God, I love that.
I mean, that's the thing, it's like, you think back to early Clone Wars, everyone was really critical of it. Early Rebels, everyone was super critical of it. I know a lot of people were critical of Resistance too. Like, it's just the cycle of how things work, you know? Like, Resistance will again have its day in the sun. Like, I really feel that. It's just waiting it out until it happens, because it will happen. It's happened for literally every single piece of Star Wars media.
And ultimately, like, you do get those kids who did grow up with this show. Like, I know there was a ton of kids that parents tweeted about their kids watching the show, and those kids will grow up.
Yeah.
Probably maybe work with Star Wars, and maybe we'll bring those stories back. Like, there are those generations that will, like you said, cycle through, and like those stories are important to them, and they're gonna want to like explore them more. So yes, there is hope. There is hope for more.
There's always hope.
So every character episode, I give people on Twitter the opportunity to share thoughts, any of the thoughts they have about the characters we're talking about, and then I get to read off their replies. So we got 3 replies this time, so I'm gonna go through those. First, from @highball2184 on Twitter said, I'm a son of a Mexican father. I was over the moon when Emmanuel and Tora showed up. Named my dog Tora. When Vanessa came around, you just knew that family was all badass. And there's so much love there. I enjoy Resistance, but I just want stories from the Dozas. Need more Tora. The Dozas in the future, or any other future Doza or Resistance content, we'd love to see. Yes, exactly.
I love that he named his dog Tora.
I would definitely name a dog Buggles someday, honestly.
Right? I hope his dog has like a turquoise or like orange collar or something, like her colors.
Oh my God, so good. At Home Milanax said, having an intact family is surprisingly huge for Star Wars. They go through just as much struggle, but none of them die. I also love that Vanessa is the fighter, and Emmanuel is a stay-at-home dad. That was a nice twist on a common trope. Yes, we talked about that. Exactly.
Yeah, no, right on.
Right on, exactly. Okay, and Sarah, one of the wonderful people who brought this day into existence, said, my gosh, where do I start? The Dozas are just such a wonderful model of family in Star Wars, a franchise where so often we focus on the loss of family. They are loving and caring and each independent, but strongest as a team. So thank you all for those replies. That's very well encapsulates everything we talked about. As always,
it was
that always happens.
Really good, like cliff notes of everything we talked about.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing these, honestly, because it always happens where it always I read these and it's always like brings up everything we've talked about. It's so great. I love it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Caitlin. We talked about doing this way back in January, and I'm so glad it finally got to happen.
Was it January?
So long ago.
When you brought it back, I was like, oh yeah, we just talked about this. It's January? Wow. Okay.
It's been a while. This year has gone by too fast.
It has. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I'm really glad we got to. It's honestly been a while since I've talked about resistance. And yeah, like even just like revisiting some of these episodes and stuff like that has been such a like treat. And even while we were talking, I was like, oh yeah, I didn't like go rewatch that episode that I was talking about. I need to go rewatch that. Like, I really want to go put that on now. And like,
I have to just let like everyone will know the only reason I know this show as well as I do is because I have the no context account. I have like too much of this show memorized for my own good.
I mean that account, I love it so much. I remember when you first made it, I was like, this is the best thing. This is exactly like, this feels like something that comes directly from Resistance. Like someone on the Colossus has also made this account to like capture Kaz in like weird scenarios, or like, what's Kaz doing today? And it's just like him hiding behind a plant thinking no one can see him. Like someone absolutely on the Colossus has that account.
Yeah, honestly, that account is just me like blacklisting Kaz, like exposing Kaz for all the times he messes.
You're so funny though. Like
it's just a big expose of Kaz. I feel so bad.
No. It's perfect.
Yeah, I know. I've just made so many compilation videos, so I've seen these episodes like hundreds upon hundreds of times, and it's great, but it's like it's kind of scary how much I remember.
Just like on constant loop in your brain.
Yep. Well, anyway, again, thank you so much for joining me, not only for this episode, but I've been wanting to like podcast with you and Charlotte for a while. So I'm glad I got at least you on today. That makes me really happy. And I hope that we either both of you or one of you comes back again in the future. It's been tons of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad we got to do this. Thank you so much for having me on. Yeah. And I know we'll absolutely be podcasting again with Charlotte, hopefully too.
Hopefully. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that is the hope. I know everyone I say this with like everyone else but me, because I feel like everyone's more known than me. Like, I know everyone probably knows where to find you, but where can people find you if they don't know that for some reason?
Well, my name is Caitlin. I am on the show Sky Talkers with my best friend Charlotte, and you can find us on Twitter, where we all live and breathe and spend too much time, at Sky Talkers Pod, or my personal Twitter is at Caitlin Plesher. So just my name, you'll find me.
Awesome. As for me, you can follow me at Ali_M_Andrews on Twitter. You can follow the podcast at Knights of Ren on Twitter, on Instagram at Knights_of_Ren. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so. The Patreon and Ko-fi are linked below. And other than that, I plan to be back and do more High Republic. That's my main goal now, because I fell behind a bit again, only by 2 books so far, but that's probably going to get worse soon. So I need to catch up on that a bit. But other than that, I expect to maybe do a few more of these, because I love these. And then Andor, yes. I do not know how well that will go, because the show starts literally when I start school with 3 episodes.
Oh my gosh.
Of course it does. Like literally the day I start school, Star Wars was like, here, have more Star Wars. And I'm like, what great timing, Star Wars.
What great timing. Thank you.
Yeah. So we'll see. I do want to put out more content. I know I've been kind of not really here much lately, but I very much enjoyed this and I want to do more of this. So I hope to be back soon. But other than that, thank you all so much for listening. And I hope you come back next time to listen to me talk more Star Wars. Thank you. Bye.